I want to thank everybody for attending and participating. Ms. Herring's time is short tonight, and so we want to make sure we have time for her to just tell us about what's going on here in Indiana, especially as it relates to individuals with differing abilities and who are blind. In November 2020, Governor Eric Holcomb appointed Ms. Kara A. Herring as our first Chief Equity and Inclusion and Opportunity Officer. Her goal was to better build diversity, inclusive environments across government. Prior to this appointment, she was the director of the Office of Institutional Equity at Notre Dame University. She was responsible for developing Notre Dame's affirmative action plan and also supervised and was over employee issues that relate to disability. The Title IX and Title VII regulations and at Notre Dame. So she is very experienced in this area, and we are so thankful that she's taken the time tonight off the clock to come and visit with us for a little bit. And so without further ado, Kara.
Hi, Dr. Evie. Thank you so much. How are you?
Pretty good. It's great to see you again.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yes. And I want to give you the floor to kind of tell us, you spoke to us at the Indiana Association for Blacks in Higher Ed Town Hall, and yes, several of our members participated in that. And so you were still setting up things and getting ready. So, a month or so down the road, we want to see where you are and what's going on and things that you can share with us.
Awesome. Yes, I remember seeing Michael Loft's name in that presentation. So it's good to see Michael on here. So I started in February. As Dr. Evie mentioned, I was appointed by Governor Holcomb in November. And I was incredibly honored that they sought me out to really come in and start to build a more inclusive workforce. And so I just want to go over a couple of things that I've done since getting into the position that I think will be areas of opportunity where we may be able to collaborate, where I may be able to collaborate with the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana. So when I was at the University of Notre Dame, I did oversee affirmative action planning and Title VII, Title IX. I was the ADA coordinator for quite a few years. And so my team worked on, workplace accommodations, accessibility assessments, not only like physical accessibility assessments with all of the different buildings on campus, but we did online accessibility assessments as well. During my time as the director, we updated our disability policy and procedures around accommodations, not only for our faculty and staff, but for our students as well. And we implemented a program that I was very proud of that is still there to this day around assisting individuals with serious mental illness get employment on the University of Notre Dame's campus with varying departments. And we did that in partnership with an organization called Clubhouse of St. Joseph County, which I sat on that board for quite a few years. And that organization is committed to helping individuals with serious mental illness get job skills and get prepared for the workforce and then helping them become independent livers. But since I've been in this position, I've been working on a number of different things, not only related to trying to diversify our workforce in terms of race, ethnicity, and women, but also for individuals with disabilities and our veterans population. So some of the things that I've done specific for the individuals with differing abilities population, I've had several meetings with the Governor's Council for People with Disabilities. They made sure to seek me out as soon as I got into the position. And so we met very early on. I asked them to give me a little bit of time to start to get some things in place. We met again not too long ago, along with the Lieutenant Governor and the Indiana Statewide Independent Living Council. And so there are several things that we have been discussing that my office is going to be assisting the Governor's Council for People with Disabilities and the Indiana Statewide Independent Living Council with. And that's specifically to look at Indiana's Employment First Plan that they are trying to implement through legislation. And what this does, it focuses on six different areas to assist individuals with disabilities. The first is including promoting employment within public and private sectors. So really trying to find a way to use legislative policy to get private public employers to really create more opportunities for individuals with disabilities. The other five areas, collecting data on the status of Hoosiers with disabilities, improving outcomes for youth with disabilities. So I've been working closely with the Department of Education on some initiatives, training for employment services through the people that are hiring, changing state policies and funding to promote integrated employment outcomes, and then addressing transportation and benefit concerns. And so in order to really assist with this work, because this is work that's very important to me, it's a work that I've done for many years prior to coming here that I did with the University of Notre Dame, I'm starting to build my team. And so Dr. Evie talked a little bit about, you know, a month ago, I was still kind of in the foundational stages. And keep in mind, I got here February 1st and walked into an office of nothing. I'm literally building from scratch. And so I've written the position descriptions. I actually hired an office assistant who's helping me with all of the scheduling and getting all the meetings coordinated. But the two most important positions, and these are the positions that are really going to be the boots on the ground that will help me implement a lot of the strategies that we're trying to do, not only for individuals with disabilities, but those that are part of the veteran population and racially and ethnically diverse populations. But the first position is my deputy chief of workforce engagement. And that person is actually going to be offered a position in the next week or so. I'm wrapping up a couple of interviews, but that position will really help me look at internal workforce issues related to working with the state of Indiana. What are the barriers to access that people of color are running into, that women are running into, that individuals with disabilities or veterans are running into, that is interfering with their ability to, one, get hired and recruited? So we're trying to diversify our applicant pools, but two, get hired, three, get here and actually feel like they are integrated into the culture and feel a sense of belonging and connectivity so that they can continue to cultivate their careers here. And then the last piece is really looking at opportunities for promotion and professional development within the state of Indiana government workforce. And so that director of workforce engagement is, I have a onboarding document for that individual where they will sit down immediately with the director of Veterans Affairs, who I've been talking to. They'll sit down immediately with the governor's council for people with disabilities to start to think about tools that they can implement to start to shift the culture and how we think about a diversified workforce within the state of Indiana. The second position is more outward facing. This is a position that I've created to help us with equity externally across the state, right? And so as you start to think about accessible materials and online access of state services, how are people able to access state services? I will give you a perfect example. I had someone from the Governor's Council for People with Disabilities talk about some of the challenges that individuals with disabilities were running into to get vaccinated. And so I immediately connected them with Dr. Box and her team to figure out, do we need to take the vaccine to those locations, to those individuals? But thinking through the external barriers to access of what the state offers. Another situation that came up, and I immediately connected the Governor's Council for People with Disabilities to the Department of Administration. There's a building, Government Center South, where one of the ramps is not up to the accessibility standards that it's supposed to be up to. And some of the buttons were not working properly for individuals to push those buttons to get in and out of the building. Immediately connected them to Commissioner Crane. They worked with them to get those things adjusted. So those are some of the things that we're doing early on, where I'm getting feedback from external groups to help us become more accessible, to help us become more sensitive to the needs of all Hoosiers, not just a particular subset of Hoosiers. So that external equity person will really start to work very closely with agency heads and outside groups like the National Federation of the Blind of Indiana to really learn where we have opportunities to do better, where we have opportunities to expand access. So those are just a few of the things that we're working on. I personally am excited about bringing those positions on because, as I stated in my previous position at Notre Dame, I was in the weeds doing the work. I was doing the research. I was doing the benchmark reports. I was going out and gathering the data to make informed decisions. Because of my position with Governor Holcomb's cabinet, it's a little different for me now. I don't necessarily have the capacity to do all of the work that I did at that time, you know, with Notre Dame, but I'm very excited about hiring really great people that can help me implement these initiatives. a little bit of what I'm doing and have been doing for the last couple months, traveling around the state and meeting with different chambers of commerce across the state and talking to business leaders about how they're engaging DEI professionals within their organizations to really think through strategies for recruiting, hiring, retaining diverse talent. And that's diverse talent in all forms of diversity, physical and mental ability, racial and ethnic diversity, gender diversity, LGBTQIA+, thinking about how we are engaging our recruiting strategies, our hiring strategies, our promotion strategies, and how we're retaining that talent has been a part of my roadshow, going out and talking to these folks. And then really sitting down with a lot of external stakeholders, not just in Marion County. I love Marion County, but I'm responsible for the whole state. I'm trying to think about what we need with equity across the entire state. And so really spending some time to sit down and use these qualitative conversations to inform the strategy that the governor and my team and I will put into play over the course of the next couple of years. Last thing I'll say is that I don't know if any of you know some of the folks with the Governor's Council for Individuals with Disabilities, but they are on me and they are checking in with me, you know, monthly to say, have you hired those people yet? We have a whole onboarding document to circle up and to really start to assist with some legislation and policy. And I will tell you that this is very important for the Lieutenant Governor as well. She joined me on a couple of those meetings. And so we are on it. But I'm very excited to get my team on board to see how we can partner with all of you and support the work that you all are doing. I know you have your state convention coming up. And if there's anything that we can do to support that, please let me know. But I'm very excited to grow the team so we can start to dig into moving us towards solutions so that people do have employment opportunities and people can live independently and have housing in the places in the way that they need, that they do have access to the right transportation to get them to and from medical appointments and all of the things that we all need to live our best quality of life. My office, that's why we're here. We're supposed to start to remove those barriers to access across all state government services. And it's a heavy lift. And I have a short amount of time to really do a lot of this because I'm a political appointee. So when Governor Holcomb walks out of the office in 2024, I have to pack my bags and walk out with him. But the goal is to make sure that this work that we're doing early on is sustainable so that no matter who's in this office, that this work will continue. And so one of the last things that we're really focused on this year is codifying this work into statute. I'm really excited to help others with their policy and their legislative goals, but I too have a legislative goal of getting this office and this work and these positions codified into statute so that when a new governor comes in, they can't just say, we don't need a chief equity officer. We're going to get rid of this work. We really need to make sure that this work continues because as much as I like to think that I can solve all of the world's issues, you know, in 3 years, I can't. It's going to take time. And so we got to make sure that we have the support. So I'll stop there. We're working on a lot. And Dr. Evie, I wanted to make sure that I left time for questions mm-hmm. and anything that may, you know, we all want to discuss. So thank you so much for having me.
Lee, are you with us? Kara, that was awesome. Thank you so much. And you mentioned so many things and, we're going to collect questions from our members, and Lee, are you with us?
We really want to thank you for taking the time out today during your period of being off work right now, and with your newborn. And I trust everything's going well with your newborn.
Thank you. Yes, he turned 9 months last week. He's doing well. He's getting a little feisty now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get you some sleepless nights in. Yeah. Some more. But we really want to thank you. And you know, you seem like you are on point. But we here at the National Federation of the Blind really would like to coordinate our efforts with you as well as with our state. We have a National Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Committee, and we are under that umbrella as an affiliate. And our little bit about our history, we started up the DEI last year, and we were at our first state convention. And while I'm speaking about the state convention, our state convention will be in October 8th and 9th. And if you have time on your schedule, we would like to invite you to come and participate with us as we plan out the agenda.
Let's follow up, and I will make sure that we get it locked into my calendar. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. And as you mentioned, access, you know, that's a big item with us. And, you know, as far as access with affordable technology, voting, accessible voting act, accessible website act, medical device access to digital devices. So there, we have several resolutions as well, but we'll entertain you with those a little later. but we really are looking forward to this as we try to grow diversity, equity, and inclusion. And one of the things that you emphasize is sustainability. Mm-hmm. You know, sustainability is very important, as you indicated. It's not going to take several months, a year, or 3 years in order to get it flowing, and so that everyone can participate actively in these efforts.
Yes.
So I want our membership that's on here right now to understand that, because when we do have individuals that you know, are struggling with diversity, equity, and inclusion, we want them to know that they are included, that we leave the door open for them to come into our flow.
Yes. Lee, can I jump in and ask a question? Just as a follow-up to that very statement, Kara, you're going around the state and you've made that a point, and you talked about that in your town hall, is to hear from different populations of people. You know, what is it? Why is that important to you, that you're not just hearing from people from Marion County, or hearing from people from a certain, you know, gender group or whatever? Mm-hmm. Why? What is important about equity and your inclusion and building those opportunities that you find important that you hear from all these other?
Well, I mean, it's just so critical, because we know that, let's just take individuals with disabilities. The disabled population is not a monolith. And so the challenges that someone who is struggling with a physical limitation or some type of mental limitation, the challenges that they might run into in the inner city of Gary look very different for what someone who's living in rural Indiana run into. And it could be an issue of broadband connectivity and like Lee just mentioned, having accessible technology that can help them to connect. In Gary, Indiana, it could be something more related to transportation, of getting to a particular facility that they need to get to. And so it's very important to me that I'm spending time across the state as a collective, because equity needs look different in different parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And we just have to be mindful of that. It's the same with the Black community. We are not a monolith. And I tell people that all the time, when we were looking at some of our COVID vaccination efforts. And, you know, I'm a member of the NAACP, but I have friends who are members of the Urban League, and I have other friends that are members of other groups. And so I was telling them, I said, we can't just say we'll use the NAACP for our communication or the Black Expo. These populations are not monoliths. And so we have to be very mindful to take the time to learn what the needs are across different regions of the state and across different groups, right?
Absolutely,
and so there's
absolutely.
Intersectionality is real. Some of us are Black, and some of us have disabilities, and some of us are struggling with socioeconomics. There could be a myriad of things that layer onto how you identify. And we have to make sure that we're trying to accommodate and hear those needs. That's why I'm doing this roadshow. It's so incredibly important.
Thank you so much. This is excellent. You talked about before that you were working on some a strategic plan.
Yes.
And how is that going? And how does that play a role in you sustaining the efforts after you're done?
Yes. So the strategic plan is actually coming along really well. Governor Holcomb and I have decided that it will be bucketed in three areas. Mm-hmm. The first is economic development. The second is workforce development, and the third is community development. And so within each of those buckets, I will give you a couple of examples. In economic development, I recently made an investment from the state of Indiana to an organization called the Sagamore Institute. And that investment is to really make sure that they are looking at, this is an ecosystem of support to help start new business. And that investment is really to help them look at socially and economically disadvantaged businesses. So that would be businesses owned by individuals with disabilities, businesses owned by people of color. I made a two-year commitment to give them $200,000 this year and next year to commit those dollars to making sure we're creating ecosystems of support for individuals with disabilities who want to start businesses, or Black people who want to start businesses, or the Latinx community who want to start businesses. Because it's very important to me that I not only talk about what we need to do, but I also back that up with some dollars and some funding to make sure that these groups have support. And so they are responsible for using that money. We're going to have a regular cadence and check-in so I can see how have you been engaging with different populations. And so Dr. Evie, that's one of the groups that I will probably connect you all with. If you know of individuals with disabilities who are trying to start businesses or grow the businesses that they currently have, this is incredibly important to me. So that would be under the economic development bucket. Under workforce development, again, going out to these chambers of commerce and challenging our CEOs and our COOs and presidents of universities and colleges to look at their recruiting strategies, to look at their hiring plans, to make sure that they have an equity lens on the work that they're doing, so that individuals with disabilities and people from racially and ethnically diverse backgrounds and women and the LGBTQIA plus are included in those conversations. I'm actually hosting an event August 30th for chief equity officers across the state to come here to Martin University to meet me for 3 hours. It's a summit where these chief equity officers can come together, and I'm going to talk about the strategic plan, and I'm going to highlight some things that we should be focused on as a state around these topics, and hoping that folks will join me in these efforts. Because again, I can't do this by myself, but those who have these positions at corporations and universities can meet with me, learn what the governor and I are trying to do, learn the percentages that we want to see shift over the course of the next few years. And then they can take that information back and challenge their organizations to be part of the solution. And so I'm hosting that event on August 30th. And again, I have family members with physical and mental limitations. And so this is important to me, not only because of that, but it's important to me because I'm from Indiana, and I firmly believe that every single Hoosier should have access to the tools necessary to live their best life. Yes. There's no reason in this day and age, with all of the technology and all of the opportunities that are out there, that some of these organizations have not stepped up and joined in the solution. There's no reason for that. And the days of the excuses are done. And so organizations like you all, organizations like the Governor's Council for Individuals with Disabilities, we have to start holding one another and these companies accountable to really implementing some change. Again, I can't do it all in 3 years while I'm here, but I'm going to do what I can. And that is why they hired me. So I'm very committed to this.
Well, we just want to say to you, we are really enthused about the energy that you bring to the table and the inclusiveness that you bring.
You speak
much about diversity and equity, and those are just what we're working on here with the National Federation of the Blind, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Indiana. And I know that your time is becoming up on the half an hour, and we want to keep that time frame committed to you. And we just I want to say on behalf of our state president, Mr. Ronald Brown, he was unable to attend today because he's in other meetings today. And he's a very busy person as well, and things just overlapped. But he gives his apologies, and we also look forward to our collaboration at our state convention.
Yes, me too. I really look forward to equitably partnering with you all. So please follow back up, and we'll get that on the calendar.
And I guess this means I can't ask you another question, but
yes,
thank you so much.
You can ask me another question.
Well, again, you grew up here in Indiana, so you know the atmosphere.
Yes.
How do you handle, as you go around and talk to folks and as you're going into these spaces, people are really struggling with this idea of diversity, equity, inclusion, what does it all mean, that kind of thing. How do you address that?
Well, one of the things that I tell people is that when you're talking about equity, inclusion, opportunity, belonging, you're not talking about taking something from someone that already has access. You're not taking anything from anyone. I like to talk about it like this. I tell people this all the time. I have a big family and I love cooking dinner and hosting folks at my home. Mm-hmm. And I have one of those tables that has an extender in the middle where I can make it smaller and I can make it bigger. And I said, the work that I'm doing, the whole purpose is so that I can get these extenders and start adding them to tables across the state, whether that's tables in the economic space or in the workforce space, in the education space. It's not to take a seat from anyone. It's to expand the table so that we all can be at the table to get the tools necessary. You have, and the tools necessary, you cook all this delicious food, you spread it out. But if you don't put that extender in there, everybody's not going to be able to get
to
it.
And so, and everybody doesn't like the same food, right?
That's so, right. That's right. You have the smorgasbord that people can reach out and get what they need or what they want. And that table extender is just expanding the access, expanding the opportunity. It's not taking anything from anyone else. And I think that's the misconception that people have when you start to talk about equity and inclusion. It's to bring more people to the table, not to take anybody's chair away. So
that was an excellent example. I'm going to remember that example. That was simple. And I really appreciate it. On that note, I will allow you to get back to your family. Okay. Thank you so much.
So thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
And we look forward to talking with you relatively soon.
Okay.
And really do appreciate your time.
I appreciate you all. This talk with you soon.
Bye-bye.
This is Michael Loft. I was hoping to ask one quick.
Oh, hi, Michael. Lee, I'm still here if you want.
I just wanted to know if you got your website up and going and what that is so we can learn more.
So we are working on the website right now. And one of the reasons that it's not up and running yet is because I have a video on there of me speaking. And I told them, I said, the audio is great, but we have to get either a sign language interpreter or closed captioning so that people can read the speech if they want to. And so the accessibility piece is not just one that we talk about. I want to make sure that people can access all the content on my website. But the website will be up and running in about 3 weeks. And so we're trying to figure out some of the accessibility issues with some of the data that's on there to make sure that people can access it. So that's the holdup, and it'll be ready soon. And I will make sure that Dr. Evie knows when it's live.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
You take care.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
If you have any questions for Ms. Herring, you can also send those to the listserv or send them to myself, and we can get those questions aligned so that we can ask her at our upcoming convention.